I'm really thankful and blessed to share God's word this morning. Well, I'm going to share this morning, as Chuck said, on vision. I'm not an eye doctor or anything like that, okay? I'm not somebody that can check your eyes, but you check your own eyes and your own heart. You become your own doctor in this, okay? Would you turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12? And we're going to consider some things in Hebrews that we really should all have a daily awareness, because every one of us has vision, whether you know it or not. Every one of us has at least one goal. I'll share that with you in a moment. But everybody here has at least one goal, hopefully and thankfully. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Wherefore is the word therefore in that first word, therefore. And it's going back to Hebrews 11, which we'll read some of that. It's a triple type of compound word, and it gives an emphatic reference. It's very emphatic. Therefore, okay, it means there should be no chapter division at that chapter 12, verse 1. It should be continuing from chapter 11, okay. It's a conclusion, the emphasis of conclusion. Really, the climax is the whole referencing all of chapter 11. We as well, or these all, or we of 11:39, if you look at Hebrews 11:39, it's something better given us, it's given us in the actual coming of Jesus Christ. That's what it's talking about in chapter 11. We're going to read chapter 11 now, okay? That's a little bit of summary of what I wanted to get into before we read 11. Now, verse 1 of chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and we're going to read through this just so that we can consider each point, okay, because it's important here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. He still speaks to us. Abel still speaks, or his actions, his life still speaks to us this day. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now let me ask you something concerning vision, and we'll stop here just for a second. Noah, we're really pretty familiar of what Noah did, right? Built this gigantic boat, right? The ark. And do you think if he would have lost the vision of what he was trying to accomplish by God's commandment, that we would be here today? He had a great vision, okay? Now, sometimes, you know, it's hard to compare our vision with, for 100 years of, you know, building this ark and working and working and working all day and, you know, nighttime and with his sons building this thing that, for a day that nobody would had ever even, you know, could picture in their mind, an ark to float on water. That was his vision. And he had to really stick with it for 100 years. Was it 100 years? 120 years? Whatever, 100, a lot of, long time. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going, but he had this vision from God that everything was going to be okay. Everything was going to be good, right? By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him, of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Talk about that vision. And was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even one of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Ever go to the seashore? Did you ever try to count the grains of sand? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having what?
Seen them
afar off. They had vision. Right? They had this vision that was uncompromising and were persuaded of them. They were persuaded that what they saw, what God had given them to see, they were fully persuaded that they would come to pass. That's why they continued. They were persuaded of them and embraced them. Not only were persuaded, but they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. How many of us would be willing to do that? Would be able to hold a vision in our minds, unwavering, to offer up our only son. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. He saw that. God gave him the vision of seeing what was going to come to pass. And I will just make a reference here of one of the reasons why I wanted to share on vision was starting maybe a few weeks back. Nick was sharing about how each of us could be partakers of something big in this church. You could be whatever God has called you to be in this church, you know, whether it's encouraging people, whether it's fulfilling something that maybe you haven't fulfilled yet, but it's in you. God had put it in you. Okay. But we will never rise up to the occasion. We'll never rise up to the place where we could be a functioning entity. I mean, when I say functioning, I mean not just walking in, sitting down on a chair, listening, having a cup of coffee and a cake, and leaving. That's not functioning, okay? That's kind of being attending. I guess the best would be attending. Functioning would be being part of the body of Christ here and giving to someone else, to save somebody's life maybe, by the little things that we do. See, Dolores was just telling me that we were saying, how you doing? Before fellowship, how you doing? Well, Italians don't say how you doing because they really care about how you're doing. It's just a greeting. Hey, how you doing? They don't care. But she was telling me something about, and it got me thinking, years ago she was in a grocery store, right? And she just said, oh, how you doing, to somebody that she occasionally saw but didn't know the person. Hey, how you doing? And the lady turned around and said, I'm doing terrible, having a terrible day. So now she was stuck. She had to ask her, why are you having a terrible day? You know, and she started giving all these reasons and, you know, things about her health and different things that were she was going through in the hospital and all that. And she said she was just tired of it and she's ready to kill herself. That's how she was doing, right? I don't know if, you know, what you did at that point, but she said that a couple of weeks later, the lady actually did kill herself. You know, I don't know where you were at the time as far as thinking. I probably would have just kind of walked away and said, just, you know, you don't want to do that. You know, I don't know what I would have said or any of us would have said, but I'm bringing that back to here, okay, into reality with our church here, that you could make a big, big impact in somebody's life just by the little things that you can offer or the big things. Whatever God gave you is big. It's a big thing that God gave you, you know, even if it's serving coffee or, you know, running fellowship or sharing the word or, you know, sweeping up the floor because you're really attentive to what is going on and somebody just spilled a few crumbs of coffee or a cake and spilled some coffee and they're ready to do it, okay? When maybe somebody else wouldn't be that attentive. That's what God gave you. That's what God gave us, no matter how small or big it is. So that's why I wanted to share some of this on vision, because we'll never get to the point where we can be an actual important functioning part of the body unless we have vision. Okay, you got to have the vision. All right, so where do we leave off? Verse 23. By faith, Moses, verse 23 in chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, this was later on, he got older, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ. And he didn't even know. I mean, Christ wasn't around, but he saw it. He saw what was coming. See, he had the vision. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. For by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's a big key there. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. You think when he was holding his arms up, and didn't he need help? Joshua, and was it Joshua and Caleb?
Yes.
Had his arms, I must have been getting tired, holding his arms up, and they had to hold to help him. And why do you think Moses would stand there all that time doing that? He saw what God had showed him. He saw he had a vision. The people maybe didn't have the vision. But he did, and all you need is one. By faith, the walls of Jericho, the Red Sea dried up, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. That's an important part. They were drowned. By faith, verse 30, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Do you think that the guys that were riding around that city, what are we doing? Marching around the city, what, 7 times? We just keep going around. We're going in circles here. All right? Going in circles. But Joshua knew that there was a point to it. He had vision. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. There's a key here. Faith, the word faith keeps coming up, right? Faith and vision they kind of interlock, okay? Without vision, your faith could, you know, it's you're not seeing anything that you're believing for, that you have faith for. And without faith, the vision is pretty much useless. Okay, if you really look at it, that's the way it comes out to be. who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These all of them, every single one of them, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, at least in their lifetime. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Okay. Compassed about. The word compassed about literally is having lying around us. That literally is what it means, lying around us. If you turn to Luke chapter 17, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And in Luke 17, verse 2, the same word is used here. It were better for him, in verse 2, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. You know, hanging about his neck is the same as having lying around us. See? That's how big it is that we have these witnesses that we just read about that had faith and had, along with that faith, had vision. Okay, to accomplish for God what God had set them out to do. They had the vision. They had the faith. Okay. And so we're compassed about. We see these witnesses who still speak, just like it said of Abel. They still speak to us. Okay. They are around us. And that's how emphatic it is that we have this millstone hanging around our neck. We can't get rid of these witnesses. Okay. It's not a weighing down. It's a consideration, a strong, heavy consideration. They're having lying around us, these witnesses. The metaphor, it's a metaphor, basically. And it refers to the great amphitheater when you see a great cloud of witnesses. Remember the amphitheaters and the seats in the Colosseums where they, like that? And they're surrounded. That's what it also compares to that. We're surrounded by these witnesses. But these witnesses that we just read about are not only witnesses. They are also participants. Okay, you can be both. You can be a witness and a participant. The runners, just a little side note, the runners in these arenas came out with barely any clothes because they didn't want to be weighed down. Remember the runners and the fighters, and they had hardly anything on. They didn't want to be weighed down by what we're going to read is the sin that besets us so. Laying aside, the word laying aside in that first verse, back in that first verse that we read, it's indirect from ourselves, basically. It's a participle, and I'm not going to go into all that. But as in Colossians chapter 3, would you go there and read that? Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, laying aside, the two words. It means in verse 8 of Colossians 3, but now ye also put off. Means laying aside, put off all of these. And it's like, the reference is like putting off your clothes. You know, you put off your clothes, you lay them aside. Put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. The runners ran in the stadium nearly naked because they didn't want to be weighed down by the clothes. We, in our vision and in our faith, don't want to be weighed down by the sin which doth so easily beset us. We don't want to be laid down by these things, these type of things that we just read about. Okay, it says every weight. Let us lay aside every weight, not just some. We can't just pick and choose if we're going to have a vision of what God would have us to do in this body of Christ. every weight. Here, every remembrance, every encumbrance that handicaps us, like doubt. If we have an encumbrance in our vision, like doubt, how about pride? I'm too prideful to clean the floor. You wouldn't say that to somebody, but that's really what the bottom line is. Slothfulness. How about, you know God's called you to something, but you just get kind of too lazy to do what God really wants you to do. Did you ever get that way? I have. Come on. I have gotten that way. I don't feel like it. Really, I don't feel like it. And you can't tell me that you've never said that to yourself or to somebody else even. I just don't feel like it. I'm not up for it. Yeah. And there are legitimate reasons. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you can't do what God had called you to do at a particular time. But come on, to go on and on and on and on and on for weeks and months and years in the church without doing what God wants you to do, that's almost shameful. It's an encumbrance, like doubt, pride, slothfulness, anything that holds you down, anything that weighs you down, get rid of it. If it's pride, get rid of it. If it's slothfulness, get rid of it. If it's doubt, definitely get rid of it. There should be no trailing garments to hinder our walk. Okay, well, there's some things here that we don't really need to get into because there's some word, some Greek words. I don't want to get into all that. We'll move on here. In this case, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, the whole thing that it was pointing to was don't apostatize. Is that a word? Or can I coin it? Apostatize? Don't apostatize yourself from Christ. Okay? Do not apostatize. That's the big picture. Don't apostatize yourself from Christ. And this is what they were trying to accomplish in their visions, which they have accomplished in their visions. They had this vision, this faith, to not have the apostasy from Christ. In our case, it might be some other sin. In our case, it might be, I'm not going to name them, but I did name some things that may help maybe hold us down. But in our case, in this day and time, it may be something else that that would apostatize us from the Christ or the body of Christ. So don't apostatize yourself from the body of Christ and doing and having the vision and the faith of what God called us, each individually, to do. Let us run. Let us run. Three important words. Let us run. And I don't think that's a commandment. I think that is a strong suggestion from God, but he's leaving it up to you. God gave us free will, and he wants us to do what he would want us to do, but he's not going to force us. If you don't want to do something and God called you to do it and you're saying, I'm not doing it, then God is not going to force your hand to do it. See? So let us run. Okay, let us. And the word is let us keep on running. Literally, let us keep on running with patience. You may not be the best at what you do at this time because maybe for some reasons, maybe you haven't done it enough. Or maybe you need to practice a little more. Or maybe you just kind of, ask God to help you to get better. And with patience, we will get better at doing what we need to do for God and for the church. Not with impatience. You try it once and I'm not good at that. That's impatience. Not with doubt, not with despair. All right. The race that is set before us, those words. The race that is set before us. We are in a race, whether we know it or not. It's the race that is at hand. Okay, it's to be at hand or to be present. The big race, the big picture, is that Christ is coming back. Okay, we have a vision for that. We have our hope. Christ is coming back. And it's at hand. This is the word. At hand, or to be present. Practically and presently, we have that reality of him coming back. Has he literally returned yet?
No.
But in reality, we have the vision of his presence. We have the vision of his returning. Practically speaking, we all have a common goal. Every one of us has a common goal besides the hope of Christ. We have that goal or that hope, that vision of Christ returning. But every one of us here, every one of us has a goal. Who goes to bed at night not having a vision of waking up in the morning or having a goal. That's at least one thing we have in common. We all get up in the morning. At least we all have a vision of getting up in the morning, right? Who does not have a vision of getting up in the morning when you go to bed at night? Anybody? Raise. Okay, there's not one hand that went up here. So that vision of waking up in the morning when you go to bed at night should be just at your vision of doing something that would bless somebody else in the church. Your function should be just as strong and convincing as our goal and vision of waking up in the morning when we go to bed at night. That's how convincing it should be to us. If we get together and do what God asked us to do, and you know in your own heart and your soul what God tells you. I don't know. Nick doesn't know. The person next to you doesn't know. But you know. See? Don't fool ourselves by thinking that I'm not a big part of this. I can't contribute very much. That's a bunch of bull. Okay? We all have a lot to contribute. Okay? Whether you think it's small or huge, it's from God. So it's got to be huge. Because how big is God? Right? Where do we end up here? Okay. Okay, nobody makes it not a goal to get up in the morning. That's how we should act with every vision that we have. Okay. Wow. This stuff is really something to think about, because we have not been taught very much in the church. Get busy doing what God wants you to do. We get a lot of teachings and a lot of things about different subjects. But what about you personally? This is a teaching about you personally. Okay. To Candy. I'm sharing this to Candy personally. If no one else were in the room and Candy were here, it'd be only to her. But every one of us is here, so it's individually to you, okay, and to me, but to every one of us. And the bottom line is, we look unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus in chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, here's a key word, joy. If you are going to do what God asks you to do without joy, just don't do it, okay? Get your head together, okay? And get a little joy in what you're doing. If you do it with a, remember the Academy Award presentation. Oh, get the whole weight of the world on my shoulders. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. And I'm just, you know, I'm going to do for God. But, oh, just the weight and the burden. Oh, yeah. Remember that? Yeah. Who remembers that? Okay, some of your hands went up. I know you remember that. Look, yes, we are Christians. We're sons of God. And daughters of God. We're God's kids, okay? But you got to stand up straight, stand up tall, stick your chest down, and say, I'm a son of God. And what was that? You walk down the street and people think, what happened to that guy, you know? Because you're proud of being a son of God, okay? Well, that's how proud we should be of doing what God our Father has called his son or girl daughter to do, you know? Remember that? What was it? I cleaned the toilets at the Rock of Ages. But man, what an important job. Let me tell you. Because you had to go in there and use it, right? So that was a big, important job. It's not a scrungy job. It was an important job, a very important job. That's how we should think, okay? Oh, boy. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, wow, what a revelation. Seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Paul was preaching to the Gentiles. Am I not correct in that? Paul? Okay. The Corinthian church, but his goal was to see the Gentiles born again, wasn't it? He had a vision of this. Verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. This happens when you think or you have a notion that you have nothing important to contribute to the body of Christ. Your eyes get blinded. Because you keep thinking that way, you're not believing. If you keep thinking that way, your eyes are blinded. Get out of that blindness, okay? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We may not have the same function that Paul had, but he preached for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And we do for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. What I mean by do is we do what God has called us to do. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, each of us individually, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is what we're doing when we're functioning, okay? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency, okay, here it is, don't think that you're too weak to do whatever God called you to do. The excellency of the power may be of God and not of us, okay? You may think that you're not good at what you do. Trust in God, okay? Believe that He can help you to do what He has called you to do. It's not of you, but it's of God. We are troubled on every side. Sometimes we feel that way, right? Yet not distressed. We're perplexed. Perplexed means that we don't know which way to turn. But not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, and cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered, we're always delivered into the custody of death. All right, let me finish that. It's all-encompassing sin, okay? Because there was a guy a long time ago who was in the garden, and I'm not talking about Adam. I call him a guy, but he was the deceiver, okay? Like a snake deceiving God's kids, okay? So we can fall into the custody of that all-encompassing sin, all right? But read the rest of it. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Overcoming that, we manifest the life of Jesus. And overcoming that, and let me bring it back to our vision of what God had called us to do. Overcome whatever you need to overcome. Whether it's sin, whether it's doubt, whether it's pride, whether it's whatever it is that's holding you back, those heavy garments that are holding you back from accomplishing what you really know you should be accomplishing. Okay, it manifests the life of Jesus Christ in the next person next to you. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Just think if Paul stopped at the word death, the death of Jesus. If he stopped there and he didn't finish the verse, then we wouldn't be here at that point either, right? Paul had the vision of the Gentiles being born again into the same body of Christ. Okay. We having the same spirit, verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall also raise us up, or also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Okay. And it's because of the abundant grace in verse 15 that we faint not. God gave each and every one of us grace, has he not? Okay, we have the grace to do what he wants us to do. That's important, okay? And that's why we faint not, because God gave us the grace. We faint not because it always goes back to God, always points back to God. Anything that we do in this body of Christ is not for our glory at all. Not for the person next to you's glory. It's for the glory of God. Say, it always points back to God. I know when you know, when Chuck shares the word or anybody, or when you serve coffee and when you make a cake for the fellowship or whatever you do, it's not for your glory. It all points back to the glory of God, okay? And we're going to end up in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1. Verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied. It's not only given to us, it's multiplied to us. Unto you, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers. And this is the word I wanted to get to, partakers. Not just attenders, or attendees is the word, I guess. Not just attendees, but partakers. And do you know what the word partake or partakers means? It's the word that means to fully share in the communion of the saints, the body of Christ. Isn't that something? That God had called us to partake in this body of Christ. Not take part and then go home, but to partake in the body of Christ, to fully share in the communion, the fellowship of the saints, of the divine nature having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, and we can skip down to, for if all these things, it's talked about in those verses there, temperance, give temperance, patience, godliness, okay? Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge. And this is important. In the knowledge is the word epigenosis. And the word epigenosis is an experiential, a precise, and a correct knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Remember we talked about blind before? Don't be blind. Don't let the adversary blind you of what God really has called you to do, to see what you can do, to have the vision of what God called us to do. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Have the vision. They can't see afar off. If you're blind, you can't see anything, let alone far off. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And sure is the word to be firm in what God called you to do. To be stable, to be steadfast, to be certain, and to be established. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And this is something that we should really think about each day of our lives. Concerning the church, okay, there's a lot of things that we think about, but concerning what we can do within the body of Christ, be confident, be firm, be steadfast, be established, be certain of what God has called you to do, you can do. It's not of us, it's of God, okay? And if you have a little trouble, maybe a little doubt in there, a little wavering of what, you know, God wants you to do, get some help. You know, ask, what can I do? Maybe you really don't know. Maybe there's a few things that are bouncing around in that head of yours, you know. And we have this head that's not too much in our heads right now, but when Christ comes back, we'll know it all. But maybe there's things that we just, there are a few things that are bouncing around and we need some help. Talk to somebody and find out what's the best thing that I can do here, you know. Okay. So, it was a blessing to share about vision and what God has called us to do individually in this body of Christ. Father, thank you for giving each of us a purpose and a function in the body of Christ, and to help us to see more clearly each day what we can do for you and to give the glory to you and to do it in the face of Jesus Christ, so that each of us and every one of us next to us, next to each one of person here, could be blessed and to be fulfilling what you have called us to do in this body. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.